Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hey y'all, welcome to another episode of the Hardy Wrestling Podcast with your girl Stephanie Hardy. If this is your first time listening, thank you for joining the ride, and if this isn't your first time listening, thank you for staying consistent with me in this crazy journey we call professional wrestling. So of course I've got your news and gossipish, and it's been a lot going on in wrestling this week, but a lot of good things, a lot of crazy things, and some sad things, but we're gonna talk about it. And then I have a wrestling fan story time that's about me, The Rock, and Twitter. And I have my last Black History Month highlight about The New Day. I'm going to talk about them collectively as a group and individually, and talk about my argument as to why I feel like they are the greatest faction of all time. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the vibe and get this chill, positive, and passionate love here. This is the Hardy Wrestling Podcast. Right, so in your news and gossipish, we're going to start with talking about Bow Wow and the wild tweets that he put out this past week. So Chris Bay, who's an wrestler for Impact and a former X Division champion, tweeted at Bow Wow and said, "Bow Wow got 3 million followers with 14,000 views, but proceed." And Bow Wow decided to tweet at him and say, "Another broke A-word wrestler wanting attention. You can't even get booked for a dark match." And then he went on to tweet and say, "Bro, if you not in the WWE, held a title belt, or at least dated one diva, don't tweet me," in all caps. And then he went on to tweet, "Yo, bro, I'm not talking to wrestlers no more if A, they've never been a WWE champion, B, made a pay-per-view event, or he probably meant to say main event, or C, had their own action figure. We're not in the same league." And Chris Bay responded by saying, "Correct," in all caps, "I can get booked for a dark match, main events too. I'd say thanks for the clout, but you have none to give me. Good luck in your journey, Bow Wow." And it's funny because just a few months ago, Chris Bay fought in a match with Rich Swann for the Impact World Championship, making it one of the first times, you know, two Black men were able to fight for a mainstream title like that since, I believe, 2001 or 2002, since Booker T and The Rock. So really, I feel like Bow Wow may have shown that maybe he might be tweeting at wrestlers for the sake of clout, because, you know, over the past couple of weeks he has been talking about how, you know, he was interested in wrestling in the WWE and tag teaming with Rey Mysterio and, you know, possibly fighting Bad Bunny and all of that. And it sort of fed into my argument that rap and wrestling could have an era the same way rock and wrestling could. But when you have somebody like Bow Wow tweeting reckless stuff like this and not seeking to learn about wrestling outside of WWE, it's a little bit of an issue. So, and I don't necessarily want to be the type of person that'll say, oh, you need to stay out because you're not a real fan. But at the same time, if you're going to diss somebody, the least you can do is know more about the sport or more about the person that you're dissing, and knowing that just because they're not in the WWE does not make them irrelevant. Stop it. Chris Bay is one of the best wrestlers, you know, in the world, and he should definitely give Impact a chance. And he shouldn't call him broke either. You don't know what's in his bank account. And then I had a problem with Bow Wow saying, you know, if you haven't dated at least one diva, don't tweet at me. Like, if he was really a true full-on fan, he would understand that the women haven't been called divas since 2016. Literally. 2016. They're called superstars now. And it almost gives off the impression that he felt like the divas were just back there for the sake of the conquest of the male superstars. And that is not the case. And that's a very problematic way of thinking. And he needs to chill. So I feel like if Bow Wow really does want to learn about wrestling, he really needs to come correct and chill out and stop dissing people that he himself does not know. Also in the news, we had the Big Show, formerly known as the Big Show, but his name is Paul White, signing a long-term deal with AEW. It was announced that he is going to have an extensive role within AEW, and on top of his return to the ring, he'll serve as a commentator on AEW Dark Elevation. So Elevation is going to air Mondays at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on AEW's YouTube channel, and it will showcase AEW's established and rising stars, as well as the top independent wrestlers within the industry, competing against each other in the ring in pursuit of wins. So Paul White is really excited about that. He stated to say, it's been amazing to watch what AEW has built in just a couple of years. AEW Dark is an incredible platform to hone the skills of up-and-coming wrestlers, but I also love that established AEW talent can build out their personalities and showcase themselves in new ways on Dark. It's no exaggeration when they say AEW is boundless. So this kind of shocked me a little bit, because last time we saw the Big Show on WWE programming, it was on Legends Night, and he got ran down by Randy Orton, because Randy Orton was just going down a list of older legends that he was just gonna, you know, verbally abuse that night, and he verbably abused him, and the rumor is that he didn't like it. But and then plus, not to mention, he had his sitcom with the WWE called The Big Show Show on Netflix. So this was kind of shocking to hear that he had signed with AEW, but we do wish him the best in his future endeavors. And, you know, I'm hoping that this decision will give him some fun and something new to do, you know, in wrestling. So kudos to him. And now we're going to shift into some sad news. Joseph Hudson, aka Josephus, and the question mark of NWA fame, passed away this week. The NWA actually released a statement quoting, as said, the National Wrestling Alliance is devastated to learn of the passing of Joseph Hudson, better known to fans as Josephus and the question mark. Joseph has been a pillar of the NWA for many years, whether it be as the enigmatic leader of the Kingdom of Josephus or the beloved master of Mongrovian karate. Joseph will be remembered for his warm personality and imaginative spirit. We extend our deepest sympathies to Joseph's family, friends, and fans. And then Dark Side of the Ring, the show on Vice Television that showcases different stories of wrestlers that tend to be on the more negative or darker side, released a statement as well, stating the Dark Side family lost one of its foundational collaborators last night, Joseph Hudson, aka Josephus, who brought so much love, care, and respect to his portrayal of Bruiser Brody in our very first episode. We send our deepest condolences to his family, friends, and NWA colleagues. Back when the series was in early development, a hugely inspirational moment was discovering Josephus's work. His in-ring presence gave us the confidence that dramatic reenactments of this world could be achieved. When we finally met him in person, we also discovered that we were kindred spirits, sharing a mutual love for obscure cult movies, heavy metal, and vintage sci-fi paperbacks. Perhaps most importantly, Joseph rightfully and stiffly body slammed us both in a ring so we could better understand this wrestling journey we were about to embark on. You will be deeply missed. Dark Side wouldn't be the same without you. Rest easy. And this came from the creators of the Dark Side of the Ring series, Evan Husney and Jason Eisner. So we extend our sincere sympathies to his family and hope that they have all the peace and love and healing that they deserve at this time. And also, someone else passed away in wrestling as well. His name is DK Meadows, and he was a star in the U.S. Indies. He passed away on Monday, and his real name was Daquan Meadows, and he was a student that was trained in a Combat Zone wrestling dojo, and he made his debut in 2018, and no cause of death has been released. And Combat Zone Wrestling released a statement via Twitter saying, CZW is heartbroken to have lost a member of the family. DK Meadows was a beloved friend to all of us with a tremendous work ethic and limitless potential. Our hearts go out to his family and loved ones. He will be truly missed. We will love, honor, and remember him forever. He made his debut in CZW in August of 2018 as part of the CZW Dojo Wars, facing one of his trainers, DJ Hyde. And then he would soon pair with Jay Free in tag team action throughout the year. And in 2019, he would face other rising young stars like Jordan Oliver and Charlie Tiger. The following June, he captured the CZW Medal of Valor Championship. And then he made his CZW main roster debut that October, competing in a scramble match with Casey Navarro, Big Game Leroy Green, and others. So we extend our condolences to all of his friends and his family, and I hope they have peace of mind and healing during this time as well. So to shift gears a little bit more, also in the news, we have new WWE Performance Center recruits. So WWE announced its largest class of recruits Wednesday, and this group includes really major players like Eli Drake and Taya Valkyrie, who were former Impact Wrestling stars. Taya Valkyrie was the longest reigning Impact Knockouts champion, and she's also married to John Morrison. And Eli Drake now is on NXT as LA Knight, so we've seen him sort of make his television debut, but he hasn't made his in-ring debut as of yet. Also in that class, you had former UCF offensive lineman Parker Boudreau, who actually follows me on Twitter because he actually does those random posts where he'll be like, who wants to follow? And I actually said, me, please. And he actually followed me, so that was cool. And a lot of people are calling him like the next Brock Lesnar, or like he's the next big thing because Paul Heyman said so. But he stated on Twitter that he's not the next, you know, Brock Lesnar. He's the first Parker Boudreau. So Bronson Rick Steiner, who's the son of tag team legend Rick Steiner, he was signed as well. And Zoe Stark, Gigi Dolan, Cora Jade, you know, they were all signed as well. So it's just been a lot of cool people who got signed to the Performance Center, and I'm looking, and some of them have shown up on NXT, but then others, you know, have yet to make their television debut. But we say congratulations to all of them, and we can't wait to see what they have to offer us. Also in the news, we have the channel A&E and WWE to produce all new biography editions in WWE's Most Wanted Treasure series. So in a press release, they stated AEW Network and WWE Studios are giving fans an exclusive look behind the curtain in an all new Sunday night programming partnership.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
With unprecedented access to WWE's archive, the 10-week programming block features 8 original, 2-hour documentaries under the award-winning Biography banner, showcasing the stories behind some of the most memorable WWE superstars, including Stone Cold Steve Austin, Macho Man Randy Savage, Booker T, Shawn Michaels, Bret Hart, and Mick Foley. And this biography, these biography episodes are going to be helmed by some of the industry's top directors and storytellers to chronicle the success of these legends and their marking and their lasting mark on both sports entertainment and pop culture. And each special will air weekly at 8 p.m. Eastern beginning Sunday, April 18th. So following that, at 10 p.m. Eastern, they're going to have a new series called WWE's Most Wanted Treasures, which is going to be led by Stephanie McMahon, the Boss Lady Name Twin, and Triple H, her husband, as they launch a hunt for some of WWE's most iconic missing memorabilia, including Kane's original mask, Ric Flair's butterfly robe, Andy Kaufman's neck brace, Andre the Giant's passport, and much more. And in order to find these quintessential relics, the team will join forces with legends including The Undertaker, Ric Flair, Mick Foley, Booker T, and more as they bring these items home to the WWE archives. So it looks like there's a lot of new content coming to television in terms of WWE and A&E. So I think that's going to be really cool for people who do want to seek to learn more about the wrestling business and more behind the scenes stuff about, you know, older wrestling that they used to watch, you know, back in the day. So I think that's going to be really cool. And also in the news, on SmackDown, Bianca Belair made her absolutely amazing choice in choosing Sasha Banks to fight for the SmackDown Women's Championship at WrestleMania in April, which means this will be the first time two black women will face each other for a mainstream major women's title at WrestleMania ever. Man, I was so happy to see that take place last night, and I really feel like if this moment was going to be quoted as anything, it should be quoted as you're going to live to see it happen, because it's just a beautiful thing. I feel like there are so many black women who paved the way, you know, for something like this to happen, and just knowing that it is about to happen just makes me feel really good inside. And for the first time in my wrestling fandom life, I'm going to be split down the middle. I don't know who I specifically want to win. It's the hardest decision of my life. I'm going to go with Bianca. I'm going to predict that Bianca Belair is going to win it all because she has the most on the line and the most to prove. Even though I love Sasha Banks and she is my GOAT for life, it's Bianca's time. There's too much momentum that she has, and I feel like if Sasha Banks loses, there isn't so much that she has to lose, whereas if Bianca loses, there's a lot of momentum, you know, that she has lost. So I'm definitely going with Bianca Belair, and I'm definitely here for this history making match. And that's the end of News and Gossipish, and now we're gonna go to my wrestling fan story time featuring me, The Rock, and Twitter. Okay, so I was sitting with my friends one day and they asked me, Stephanie, how do you record your podcast? And I said, with the Anchor app on my phone. And they were like, are you serious? I'm like, yeah, it's that simple. It is absolutely free. There are creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone and your computer. And it will distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and many more. You can also make money from the podcast with no minimum listenership. And it's got everything you need to make a podcast in one place. They even have classes and stuff that you can listen to that will give you all kinds of good tips on what you need to do in order to make the best podcast. So if you want to do this, download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started. That's anchor.fm or download the free Anchor app to get started. Right, so this is a wrestling fan story time. I know I haven't really told one in a while because this month was kind of different with Black History Month and everything. Ooh, excuse me, just had some water. Something major happened to me this week, and I know if you follow me on any one of my social media platforms, you saw what it was, but I just wanted to talk about it on my platform because I just feel like it was a major moment for me as a fan. As you may or may not know, The Rock has this 30-minute comedy show called Young Rock on NBC that comes on Tuesdays at 7 o'clock if you live here in Alabama, and 8 o'clock if you're on Eastern Standard Time and all that. And it's a show that's sort of charting, you know, his childhood, his teen years, and his young adult years as well. And it's only been 2 episodes so far, but it's really good and pretty funny. And the casting is almost incredibly about maybe 95% spot on. Like, it's really, like, spot on with all the people who they've cast in this show. Especially the person who they got to play The Rock's mom and dad, definitely. And the people who they got to play the Wild Samoans and everything. So it's a really cool show and it's really funny. And of course, The Rock stars in it as himself, as he's running for president in 2032. Now, he has sort of alluded to possibly doing that maybe in the future. But he hasn't really announced that he's going to do it, you know, like say now, like within the next election cycle or whatever. But, you know, we have to wait and see because you just never know with the world we live in now. But that's pretty much what's been going on the show. He's telling his story in these interviews and it's sort of come back in flashback form. So on this second episode, they showed more of him during his teenage years where he was trying to impress his girl called Karen, except they kept amongst his friends, he kept calling her fine A-word Karen. So he was trying to impress her by asking her out on a date because she... And he was kind of nervous about it because she was sort of notorious for not accepting dates that often because she was just like, you know, she was hard to impress. So once he did ask her on a date, he made her laugh and everything, you know, she accepted and all of that. So they got that together. But also beneath that, you have this sub story involving The Rock's mother, Otta Johnson, and how she started this cleaning business to sort of help pay, you know, their bills, because like I said in my previous episode, it's not like The Rock and his parents were living in a lap of luxury because his father was a soul man, Rocky Johnson. There was like a point where they were, you know, legitimately struggling for a while. So it was like soul man had to wrestle a couple matches here and there and then make a few appearances at different conventions and stuff and even take on a job in order to help pay their bills. And so Mama Rock, as people affectionately call her, you know, started her own cleaning business, and she was cleaning this house of this lady, you know, who was wealthier than her. And she was sort of listening to her sort of complain about issues that in the grand scheme of life doesn't truly matter as much. And she was sort of listening to her talk and go on and on for about maybe like 20 minutes at a time over trivial things that I guess only privileged people would, you know, complain about. And Mama Rock literally interrupted her mid-sentence and said, "Those aren't real problems." And I'm sitting there just looking at the TV like, whoa, she really just said that to somebody she's working for. And, you know, she was telling her, you know, that these really aren't real issues. But then she went on an episode to make it up to the person that she was working for by making her some food and saying that she was apologized for speaking out of turn. It's just that times have been really hard for my family. And but the client, you know, understood where she was coming from, you know, and they became, you know, good friends, you know, beneath it all, and found that they had more in common than they actually thought. So that was a really precious part of the story. But after she, you know, yelled at her and said, you know, those aren't real problems, I was live tweeting with, you know, a lot of people on Twitter, you know, who are watching the show and everything. Like, live tweeting is a really cool part of, you know, watching something as it's happening, because you're not only able to give exposure, you know, to your platform, but you're also able to interact with other people who are fans of the same show that you like to watch. And I do it, you know, a whole lot. And I just started doing it with Young Rock, and I tweeted a compliment towards The Rock's mom and said, "Mama Rock is everything, # Young Rock," and it has a muscle at the end of it. So I put my phone down for like maybe a few minutes, and then I pick my phone up after a while, you know, to probably start back retweeting, and I get the shock of my life, and I find out that Dwayne The Rock Johnson actually quoted my tweet and retweeted it by saying everything, and she still is everything, and she continues to be the real rock of our family, # Young Rock. And I am just looking like, what the heck? And I'm screaming, like a fool. And my mom is like, bro, like, what is it? And I'm just like, Mom, The Rock just retweeted me. And she's like, what? And so I took a screenshot of it and showed it to her and showed her where the check meant that it was a verified account of his. And then I showed it to my sister and her boyfriend because they were actually in the living room. And I'm pretty sure, you know, I probably embarrassed her because I was losing my mind, you know, and jumping all over the house because this was happening. But at the same time, I mean, my sister knows what's up because she knows, because she used to watch wrestling too, but she grew out of it. She's 19 now, but she still knows it's a big deal to me. So she was just like, wow, like she really couldn't believe it. And I'm just sitting here in shock over the entire thing. Like, wow, like The Rock really retweeted me. And it's such a huge deal for me because The Rock is like my favorite wrestler of all time. Like in terms of like, well, he's not the GOAT to me, I should say, because I know Ric Flair is the GOAT, but it's just in my mind when it comes to like my favorite wrestler, you know, in terms of personality and promos and how many times he's made me laugh and entertain me, it's always been The Rock. Like, he's just my absolute favorite guy from my childhood. And I remember, you know, going to see most of his movies in the theaters. And if not seeing it in theaters, at least purchasing some of them. Some of my favorite Rock movies are like, I love The Rundown. I love Gridiron Gang. I love The Game Plan. And I love Tooth Fairy, even though a lot of people kind of crapped on Tooth Fairy. I don't care. I really liked it. I tend to like a lot of The Rock's movies where he's being more of a heartfelt person and being kind of a tough person, but not so much of a tough person that you forget that he has feelings. And of course, I love Scorpion King. And those are really a lot of my favorite Rock movies. And I did go see Hercules, but Hercules wasn't necessarily one of my favorite ones. And I'm really excited to see him in Black Adam because I just want DC to just sort of, this has nothing to do with wrestling, but I just want DC and their movies to just sort of beef up and just become, you know, on Marvel's level. But I just want them to just become more organized. But outside of that, like, I just really love The Rock. You know, I love how he's just sort of taken his personality and just gone straight to the moon with it. You know, he's one of the highest paid actors in all of Hollywood. I love all of his movies, everything he's done with Kevin Hart, you know, like they're a match made in comic heaven. Just anything that The Rock does, I just absolutely love and just support, as long as it's for the good of, you know, entertainment and all for the good of, you know, the people and stuff like that. Like, he just seems like he's a really cool person. If I ever met The Rock, I would probably pass out or probably just burst into like a puddle of tears because I just love him so very much. Like, seriously, it was just, you know. And then he was the host of the WrestleMania that I went to in Atlanta in 27, even though a lot of people hate WrestleMania 27. Like, that's my favorite one. That's my baby because I went to it. And then it's just like, you know, watching him sort of screw John Cena, you know, who came out there with a choir and everything to face The Miz for the WWE Championship, to start a whole year-long feud to lead up to the next WrestleMania was just a huge deal. And their once-in-a-lifetime match was A1. I love it. I actually just watched it like last week. So it's just kind of like I just love The Rock so very much. And it's just, you know, he's just one of my favorite people. And so to get retweeted by him, you know, me with a small podcast, like I've been doing this wrestling podcast for like a year and some change now. And just to know that there are people who are noticing the things that I do say just means the world to me, because I just felt like just a year ago, the name of my first episode was Random Girl Random Podcast, because I didn't think I could start a podcast, you know, and people would actually listen to me. Because when you think of podcasts, you think of people who are like experts in their field, or people who are like rich, or people who are like famous, you know, who do you'd want to listen to anyway because they already have a platform. I didn't think anybody would care to listen to someone like me who's just, you know, an ordinary person, an ordinary millennial just trying to figure life out. But people do. And then when I tweet and live tweet and people actually, you know, like what I say, you know, that means a lot too. So the idea that someone who I've been watching since I was a child, and somewhat emulating since I was a child, retweeted something that I said about his mom, you know, not even just about him, but about his mother, just meant the world to me. Because, of course, I love mothers. I love my mom. And it's just, I just really, like, his mom really resonates with me on the show. because she just keeps it real. And just to know that he appreciated the compliment that I paid to his mother just meant a whole lot to me. And I thank everyone who, you know, liked the picture that I, you know, posted everywhere on all my Instagram and my Facebook and everything about it. You know, just thank you for being supportive of that and everything. Like, you know, it just makes stuff like that just makes me feel like the sky's the limit. For this podcasting thing and just for wrestling and for me and wrestling as a whole. Wrestling is just one of my truest, deepest loves. And I just feel like there's so much more that can come from it. And that was one great moment that I will cherish, you know, for the rest of my life as a content creator and just as a person who's just a really big fan of The Rock and his mom now, too. So that's the end of this wrestling fan story time. And now we're going to go to my very special Black History Month highlight of the New Day. Right, so in this Black History Month highlight, it's going to be a little bit longer because I'm going to be talking about the group The New Day. And I'm going to be talking about them individually, of course, and collectively what they've done as a group. And I'm going to use this to feed my argument of saying that they are the greatest faction of all time. So we're going to start with the longest tenured WWE superstar in the group, which is Kofi Kingston. Of course, he was born as Kofi Nahaje Sakoti Mensah in the city of Kumasi in the Asante region of Ghana, West Africa, where I've actually had the privilege of going. He moved to the United States with his parents at the age of 2, and he began performing as a wrestler in high school. And after graduating from college, he got a normal job and realized that wrestling was his actual true love. And he really did not want to spend the rest of his life sitting in a cubicle, so he decided to pursue professional wrestling. So, after making his debut in 2006 with Chaotic Wrestling, he signed with WWE that September, and he debuted on ECW in January of 2008 as a Jamaican babyface until 2009 when he dropped the accent in a promo with Triple H, Shawn Michaels, and others. And of course, you might remember this because this is when Triple H called him out and said, wait a minute. Aren't you Jamaican? And then Kofi Kingston had this really cute look on his face like, I'm caught. It was so funny because back then I thought he was really cute and I loved his clothes and everything. But my dad used to make fun of him and call him Coffee. And I'm just like, no, it's Kofi, Dad. You know, you keep, you know, mispronouncing his name and all this other stuff. And of course, later I will learn that, you know, Kofi is basically the name they give you if you were born on a certain day of the week in Ghana. That's a part of their culture. So basically, that's his name. And also just the fact that I just loved his bright colors and I love how he was just jumping up in the air and stuff. But he had to drop a Jamaican act and he was later on, you know, continuously billed from Ghana, West Africa, as he is to this day. And from 2009 to 2013, he became a 4-time Intercontinental Champion, a 3-time United States Champion, a 5-time Raw Tag Team Champion with Evan Bourne, Matt Sydal, R-Truth, and of course Big E and Xavier Woods with the New Day, a one-time World Tag Team Champion with CM Punk, and of course he's been a 7-time SmackDown Tag Team Champion with the New Day. And of course, as the most historic point of his career, he is a 1-time WWE champion, and he's the first African-born man to be a WWE champion during his beautiful and historic Kofi Mania run, which I've documented multiple times on this show, and how much, you know, it made me feel incredibly emotional, so I won't go into it here, but just know this was an important moment to me. Also on the channel Up Up Down Down, he's known as Mr. 24/7 and also Mr. Gacho, as in Gacho A Word. Seriously, that's his nickname. It's funny. And after he won the WWE Championship, he went to his home country of Ghana, visited schools, and was honored by President Nana Akufo-Addo. And he's a major sneakerhead. So it's been really cool to sort of see him, you know, with this rise. With his rise as a superstar, you know, considering he was always trying so incredibly hard to reach, you know, the very top of that ladder, but he wasn't necessarily considered, you know, one of those people who could reach the top of the ladder. He was always considered a good worker. But some of his best rivalries have been with people like Randy Orton and also Samoa Joe. And even though we don't tend to focus on how he lost the WWE Championship, we always know that the moment of Kofi Mania and him breaking that glass ceiling will always be important to us as Black wrestling fans, and also to future Black male wrestlers who feel like, you know, that there isn't a place for him. They can look to Kofi for inspiration and see that there is a place for him. So that's good. So now I'm going to talk about Xavier Woods, who is my birthday twin. He was born on September 4th, 1986. Whoop. So while attending Furman University, Xavier began training and wrestling part-time with Ultimate Christian Wrestling. He became the final Deep South Wrestling heavyweight champion in 2007. And also in 2007, he started in TNA as Consequences Creed and fought in the X Division, which is kind of like their cruiserweight division, I guess you could say, maybe, but yeah. In 2009, he won the World Tag Team titles with Jay Lethal, with their team known as Lethal Consequences. And in 2010, he participated in the New Japan Pro Wrestling Super J Tag Tournament with Kota Ibushi as his partner. He would also go on to win the East Coast Wrestling Association's 2010 Super 8 Tournament, defeating Brian Malonis, Eugene, and NXT superstar Tommaso Ciampa. He debuted on NXT in 2012 as a 90s culture fanboy and put his fandom in different gears that he would wear, such as with Power Rangers and Dragon Ball Z. And in 2013, he made his main roster debut by teaming with R-Truth, who he used to team with in TNA. And he was accompanied by the Funkadactyls, which is basically Naomi and Cameron, aka Arion Andrew now. In 2014, he became the voice of what would become the New Day, and the New Day seemed as if they would be like this serious group at first, and a lot of people, you know, were kind of rumbling about, and they thought that this group was going to be kind of like the 2.0 version of the Nation of Domination, but that wound up, of course, not happening. But when it seemed that they were going to be very serious, you know, with this group, he was sort of the mouthpiece for them. And it was just really interesting to see them, you know, dressed in suits and everything, kind of staring at everybody and yelling about how they were going to take back what they deserved and everything. And yeah, it was just a really weird and interesting time. So you can only imagine my surprise when the New Day popped up and they were going to be known. They were kind of, you know, repackaged as these positive Black youth preachers with a choir singing in the back and everything. Now, I actually liked it, but a lot of people didn't, and a lot of people booed them, which made them, you know, turn heel during early in their New Day run. But they wound up having to make the New Day gimmick, you know, their own and sort of put their own spin on things. And, you know, the rest is history with that. Now in 2015, but back to Xavier, 2015, he started the YouTube channel Up Up Down Down, where he invites WWE superstars, gaming personalities, and, you know, other celebrities to play video games and have interviews. And for this channel, he won a Guinness World Record for most subscribed to celebrity video gaming channel with 2.25 million subscribers, including myself. Yes, I'm subscribed to them, even though I'm not really a gamer like that. It's still entertaining. In 2017, he also voiced the character Vincent Mensa in the PS4 video game 2064 Read Only Memories. And in 2019, he became a recurring cast member of Penny Arcade's Live Dungeons & Dragons campaign. And last year, the New Day, including himself, was added as playable DLC characters in Gears 5 with custom ring attire armor. And he was announced as one of the new hosts for the revival of the G4 channel. As if you may remember, like in the early 2000s, there was this channel called G4 that specialized in video game news, gossip, and all of the above. And since they're reviving that channel, he's going to be one of the hosts for it. And he really pushed for it on Twitter and everything with the hashtag. And a lot of people caught on with it, and he went ahead and actually locked in that job. So also, he holds two bachelor's degrees in psychology and philosophy and a master's degree in psychology, and he's a PhD candidate in educational psychology. So Xavier just really has a really long resume that includes wrestling and all kinds of video game stuff and hosting, you know, credits and all of the above. So it's really cool. I love Xavier so much. He's just really funny. And, you know, on top of his wrestling career, he's a 3-time Raw Tag Team Champion and a 7-time SmackDown Tag Team Champion. But we don't know if he'll ever have, you know, his moment in the sun to have a solo run like Kofi and Big E, you know, have had. I wouldn't mind seeing it because he's actually the most underrated talent of the New Day. So I would love to see him have a singles run at some point, but we'll have to see what happens. And last but certainly not least, the powerhouse of positivity is Big E. He is the first Black NXT champion. He's a 2-time Intercontinental champion, including right now during his reign. He's a 2-time Raw Tag Team Champion and a 6-time SmackDown Tag Team Champion. He was a high school wrestler and then he attended the University of Iowa, where he played football as a defensive lineman for the Iowa Hawkeyes. And after, you know, encountering a couple of setbacks in terms of injury, after he graduated from college, he went to the world of powerlifting and he won first place in the USA Powerlifting US Open Championships in 2010 and 2011. And in 2012, he made his main roster debut by aligning with AJ Lee and attacking John Cena. And he became the enforcer for AJ Lee's on-screen boyfriend at the time, Dolph Ziggler. And he was a secret admirer to Caitlyn in order to get in her head, which ultimately led to AJ Lee winning the Divas Championship at that time. It's so funny because I remember that storyline and I wanted Big E and Caitlyn to be a thing. They were so cute. Like when he was pretending to like all the stuff that he liked and she liked, and then he gave her flowers and everything and he revealed himself to be the admirer. I was just like, oh my God, be a thing. But then they weren't a thing and he pushed her down and it was all a whole ruse to get under Caitlyn's skin. It was so sad, but he played his role to a T and it was really, really good. And I'm pretty sure that was a very underrated storyline at the time. But it was still really good to me. And last year he was given the blessing to go on a singles run after Kofi had sustained some injuries from a ladder match at Extreme Rules the Horror Show, where they lost their SmackDown tag team titles to Nakamura and Cesaro, I believe. And so since then, he's been sort of separated from the New Day thanks to the draft. Kofi and Xavier got drafted to Raw and Big E had to stay on SmackDown. So really, you know, the New Day, you know, persona is something that he still has and he still wields. But at the same time, he's sort of finding his own identity as a tough guy who's still very much, you know, positive and cool, but he's beginning to be more serious when it comes to, you know, his opponents. So that's really interesting stuff there, and I can't wait to see what he has to do next, you know, as a singles competitor, with New Day always being at the forefront of his heart. He's also the voice of Cannon Wolf on the Adult Swim series Laser Wolf, and that one's actually pretty funny. And as of right now, he's launching a project called Our Heroes Rock with Jonathan Davenport, who is the New Day's ring gear creator, and Andreas Hale, who is a journalist and an author who's been on their podcast multiple times before. Our Heroes Rock is basically like a Schoolhouse Rock-esque kind of show that highlights the achievements of African Americans in the United States. And this is going to include lots of hip hop, you know, and R&B elements with it. And they've kicked off a Kickstarter fund, you know, for it. And as far as I know, they're on their way to their goal. And you can also get t-shirts and different prizes and stuff for how much you donate to their Kickstarter campaign. So he has links to it on his social media outlets. So if you go on at WWE Big E, you can find them. So if this is important to you, please, I would say definitely donate to that, because I feel like our kids could stand to have, you know, a Black History form of Schoolhouse Rock, you know, set to rap music. So that would be really cool. And he also has a WW24 documentary premiering tomorrow. So if you want to watch that, please check that out, so I don't necessarily have to spoil everything for you in this highlight. But I can't wait to see his story unfold on tomorrow with his WW24. So collectively, so as you can hear, individually, the New Day has done a lot of great things. And I would also say I would venture to say that they are the longest reigning tag champs for 483 days, which has yet to be, which is a record that has yet to be broken. Together, they embody a spirit of Black brotherhood, friendship, and support to show that you don't necessarily have to break up in a negative way for someone to gain success, that you can actually have a support system behind you and you don't have to stab each other in the back in order to do it. They hosted WrestleMania 33 in Orlando dressed as Final Fantasy characters and added to the moment in which the Hardy Boys made their surprise return. It was really cool. They also published a book called The Book of Booty, Shake It, Love It, Never Be It in 2016. And of course, they host their podcast called The New Day, Feel the Power since 2019. And they also serve as supporters of the Black Lives Matter movement. And of course, during the aftermath of the tragic killing of George Floyd by Minneapolis police officers, they utilized their platform and their ring gear to give awareness to people's lives who had been unjustly taken by violence by wearing armbands with the names of those people and also the names of people who passed away as civil rights icons. And they even had a t-shirt design from when they took a knee on SmackDown that time during the pandemic era, and had that and had the proceeds donated to the NAACP fund. So they also have a Bootio cereal which you could find in a couple of stores. I'm not sure if they're still selling it, but I really feel bad that they never turned their whole New Day Pops thing into a thing either, because that would have been really cool ice cream. But you know, WWE had to come up with their other ice cream sandwich. Those sandwiches are good, but you know, I really would have liked it if the New Day had their own ice cream. That would have been cool, but they dropped the ball on that, but it's okay. And the thing that I admire about the New Day the most is just the fact that they took these characters that were meant to be like old school preachers and transformed them into their own and made them, you know, fit their personalities, you know, times 10 on television, and just made something that culturally resonates with so many people, and definitely African-Americans as well. They make so many cool references to stuff about the culture. Wale is one of their coolest friends and actually did a theme song for Big E that he has now. That's actually on streaming platforms right now, because I actually found it last night. and it's just watching them just sort of unapologetically be themselves and act crazy, you know, just reminds me so much of those homeboys that you would see that would be the life of the party or the class clowns in the classroom that made class fun, you know, even though it was kind of boring at times. They would still make you laugh, you know, at the end of the day if you were having a bad day. And that's just what they embody to me. And Big E, you know, by himself sort of embodies like a really serious, powerful speaker to me. Like, I love hearing him talk because he just sounds like a really great preacher. But, you know, he actually has some past experience in being a preacher, you know, when he was relatively young. So that's really cool. And the New Day just inspires me, you know, a whole lot. Because just seeing them be themselves has just allowed for a lot of Black men, you know, to sort of, you know, be themselves and be open with just being nerds and into different things like anime and being into things like video games and stuff like that, and even into things like Golden Girls. Like, it's really opened the doors for a lot of people to be comfortable in who they are. So I really do appreciate the New Day for existing as long as they have and for doing everything that they've done for the culture. And I'll never forget, you know, their rap battle with the Usos. That was really cool, too. That was hosted by Wale as well. That was one of the coolest moments they've ever had as well. So it's just, there are just so many great moments that they have had, and I know that they'll continue to have great moments as well. They continue to inspire me, and they continue to inspire the culture, and I hope that they will continue to just give us more. And I really feel like they are the greatest wrestling faction in wrestling history, simply because of the fact that their reach goes far beyond wrestling. It's not just with wrestling for them. It's podcasting. It's, you know, hosting game shows, hosting video game shows, being on cartoons. Like, it's just a whole lot that they do that just, you know, and even in Black history and activism, there's just a whole lot that they do outside of wrestling that just reaches everywhere. And I haven't seen a faction have that much of a reach culturally in such a very long time, if ever. So I really feel like the New Day is the greatest wrestling faction of all time, and they deserve to be given their credit, you know, and their flowers, as my Jobber Tears friends would say. So that's the end of this Black History Month segment. I've really enjoyed doing my Black History Month highlights. I'm not sure if I'm going to continue doing them, or maybe, you know, do Women's History Month ones next month. I'm not exactly sure, but I've really enjoyed, you know, doing these shows and centering them into Black icons who I look up to. And, you know, maybe next month I'll format it a little bit differently from Women's History Month, or maybe I'll just stick to the regular format. But for now, I thank you guys for listening to my Black History Month stuff, and now we're going to go to a conclusion. All right, so thank you for listening to this episode of the Hardy Wrestling Podcast. Per usual, if you want to follow me, or, you know, follow any content that I have, you can follow me on Instagram at Hardy Wrestling Podcast. You can follow me on Twitter at Hardy Wrestle Pod, and follow my Facebook page at Hardy Wrestling Podcast. And you can listen to the podcast on Anchor, Spotify, YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, and anywhere you get your podcast. Next week is going to be a pretty cool episode. So I can't wait to surprise you with what I have, you know, coming for that episode. And I just thank you guys for listening and for supporting my show. And I also want to thank the Jobber Tears family for coming on my show, you know, for these past few weeks for Black History Month. It's been an absolute honor having you guys come on. And if you want to listen to them, please check them out everywhere you can listen to podcasts: Apple, Google, Spotify, iHeartRadio, everywhere you find them. And please follow them on all their social media handles at the Jobber Tears Podcast and at Jobber Tears on Twitter. So with that in mind, I thank you so much for supporting the Hardy Wrestling Podcast, your favorite chill, positive, and passionate wrestling podcast. And until next time, this is your girl, Stephanie Hardy. Bye, y'all.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.